Proverbs 2:14 says, "Who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked." So this is more a description of the evil man here that the wisdom of God will deliver us from. And this is more description of what that evil man is like. They rejoice to do evil. And this is, sometimes it's hard to imagine that there are people out there like that, but there are people out there. And we'd all be like that in our natural state if we weren't changed by the grace of God. But there are people out there that actually enjoy doing evil. They really love it. Like, it turns their crank to do wickedly. And this is another characteristic of those that leave the paths of darkness. And sometimes you see that when you see somebody taken out of the church, and then they will go down terrible paths and end up rejoicing to do evil. It's quite a sad thing. But godly men, on the other hand, do not enjoy doing evil, right? We rejoice in the Lord, as it says in Psalm 31, and we rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil, Psalm 119 and verse 162. So whereas wicked men rejoice to do evil, we rejoice in the Lord and in his word, or at least we should. Now, of course, there are times, because we have two natures within us, the spirit and the flesh, there are times whenever the flesh wars against the spirit and it brings us into bondage and it forbids us or prevents us from doing the good that we would want to do. Look at Galatians 5 and verse 17. Galatians 5:17. It says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." See, we want to do... See, wicked people can't do the things that they would because of the law, right? They want to do lots of things, but the law and punishment and consequences forbids them and prevents them from doing that. But we, on the other hand, children of God, want to do the right thing. We want to do good things, but the thing preventing us from that is not the law. It's not punishment or anything. It's the flesh within that wars and doesn't want to let us do the good that we want to do. And that's a continual struggle that every child of God has, even the best of them, like the Apostle Paul. I can't think of a better example of a Christian. And yet in Romans 7 and verse 15, take a listen here to what Paul said about himself. Romans 7:15. He says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." He's talking about exactly what he was there in Galatians. He cannot do that which he would. It's the flesh lusting against the spirit. And then in verse 19, he says again, "For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." So ends up doing what he doesn't want to do. But he's not rejoicing in evil. He's lamenting evil, but he just ends up doing it because it's just that sometimes the flesh just gets the best of you, especially in situations where it comes on you quickly, right? It's one thing if you have time to think about something and you premeditate and do it anyway, then you're going to be in big trouble with God. It's another thing whenever you just, you know, some guy cuts you off and you just get really mad and, you know, scream some obscenity at him or something, right? That's the flesh lusting against the spirit, right? So there's a difference between that. God's going to have a little more mercy on a sin like that than he would if you, you know, then later on plotted for 3 weeks how you're going to murder the guy or something. It's going to be, a different story there. Sins of presumption get judged worse. That's why we're supposed to pray to keep us from presumptuous sins. But, you know, evil men, they don't have this inner struggle like children of God do. It'd be interesting to just get into the head of a wicked man. And, I mean, I don't know. I guess I just can't remember what it was. I mean, I remember being a sinner, certainly, and doing wicked things. But I guess I probably did. I mean, I did rejoice. I mean, there was some evil that I did that I rejoiced to do. I mean, I like getting wasted when I was a teenager and stuff like that. So, I mean, I was rejoicing to do evil. I think there are some people that even rejoice to do, like, really, really nasty things, like killing people and things like that. But anyway, it'd just be interesting to get in the head of a sinner like that, of a unregenerate person, and just see, is there even any kind of internal struggle? Like, do they feel bad about doing evil? And maybe just because I could see if you are on a human level and you can put yourself in the other person's shoes and realize, oh, I wouldn't like it if that happened to me. I mean, maybe then you feel a little bit like of compassion, but they don't have some inner struggle where it comes to like feeling bad about what they've, how they've sinned against God or how they've offended him or something like that.
Yeah, like the man that closing their eyes, the device mischief, and moving their lips, they bring it to pass. Like, and some people, they sleep not
unless they cause some to fall.
That was in Proverbs, like, one or earlier in two.
Yep. Yeah, there are people out there like that. It's kind of scary. Wicked people don't weep and lament over sin, they rejoice over it. Rejoice is to enjoy by possessing, to have full possession and use of a thing, to gladden, make joyful, exhilarate a person, his spirits, etc. So when it says they rejoice to do evil, I mean, it really, it's like they get, like it's some party that they get to go to where they're just really excited and really happy, and it's just like they're just filled full of mirth. That's how they feel whenever they get to do evil. Brings them joy and gladness. And this scripture kind of talks about this, like in Proverbs 14:9, it says that fools make a mock at sin, right? To them, it's just, sin's just a big joke, right? They use the Lord's name in vain, doesn't bother them one bit. You know, they just laugh about it. It says in Proverbs 15:21 that folly is joy to them that are destitute of wisdom. So people that don't have wisdom from God to do stupid, wicked things, to them, it's fun. It's joy. It's actually their preferred pastime, if you look in Proverbs 10 and verse 23. Proverbs 10 and verse 23. It says, "It is as sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom." Sport is pleasant pastime, entertainment or amusement, recreation, diversion. You think about like the Caesars that would throw the Christians to the lions, and they'd watch it in a big arena like it was their sport, right? Yeah, it was their entertainment. They loved it. I mean, they were rejoicing to do evil. It says there that they, it is a sport to a fool to do mischief. Mischief is evil, plight, or condition, misfortune, trouble, distress, harm or evil considered as the work of an agent or due to a particular cause. So when you're talking about mischief, this is one of those words which we've really kind of dumbed down in our modern English, because when it's almost like something where you'd say like, oh, he's a mischievous little child, and yeah, cute, yeah, and it doesn't mean cute. I mean, in the King James Bible, it does not mean cute. There's another word like that. Now I can't remember.
Naughty.
Exactly. Yeah. Naughty, just like, oh, you're a naughty little guy. That's in the Bible. That's not referring to a joking matter. Now, sinners like these, people that rejoice to do evil, we shouldn't even pray for people like this. Look at Jeremiah 11:14. There are some people out there that the Lord actually tells us don't even pray for them. They are just so wicked that God's not going to hear those prayers. John, in 1 John, he tells us in chapter 5, I think it is, that he says that there is a sin that is unto death. I say not that ye should pray for it. So there are sins that are unto death and not unto death. And when you have a sin that is unto death, like a person that has committed a sin that is, as Paul said in Romans 1, worthy of death to fellowship in the New Testament church, when somebody's committed a sin like that, then it's time to judge. It's not time to pray anymore, right? Now, if they've committed something that's not publicly known, then we can pray and try to save that person.
The one in 1 John 5 is talking more on a fellowship level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because otherwise, every sin is unto death, as far as every sin is worthy of eternal death, right? The wages of sin is death. So there's no sin, no matter how big or small, that's not worthy of death in the lake of fire. So he's clearly can't be talking about that. Oh yeah, Jeremiah 11:14-15. He says, "Therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them, in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble. How far did I was going to read 15 too. What hath my beloved to do in mine house, seeing she hath wrought lewdness with many, and the holy flesh is passed from thee? When thou doest evil, then thou rejoicest. That's why I say people like this don't even get prayed for, because they are doing exactly what Solomon said, rejoicing to do evil, and God says, don't even pray for them, because I'm not going to hear that prayer. There's a point whenever God gets so fed up with sin that it doesn't matter anymore. When you get to the point where there is no remedy, then God's not even going to hear that prayer anymore.
But we wouldn't know, like, say, if we know that somebody is shacking up, not like a church member, it wouldn't necessarily be wrong to pray for somebody. Like, we don't know when God's fed up
with somebody. Yeah. Right, yeah. And in this case, God directly told Jeremiah. It's not quite as cut and dry. Mm-hmm. But I'd say if you find somebody that truly rejoices to do evil, you know, then that's a little different story than people that are just in their ignorance caught up in sin or something, you know. So by taking heed of the word of God, then we can be delivered from such evil men, and that's what we've been learning in Proverbs 2, 10 through 12. And then we have the last phrase here in this proverb, and delight in the frowardness of the wicked. So this is interesting. So not only do they rejoice to do evil, like they like sinning themselves, but they also delight in the frowardness of the wicked. So they like it when other people sin too, and they get a kick out of other people sinning. They delight in the frowardness of the wicked. This is what Paul said, what he described in Romans 1:32, that they not only do evil, but they also have pleasure in them that do it. And this is where every one of us should be really careful, because none of us probably would ever want to be like the wicked people we see on television. But how many of us get entertained by the wicked people we see on television with the wicked things that we do? So we do want to be careful about that, because God considers that a big sin, to be enjoying seeing other people sin. Romans 1:32. He says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So these people know God's judgment. They know that people that commit the sins that he just listed there are worthy of death. Not only do they do those sins, but they have pleasure in them that do them. So they do them themselves, and they also like it when other people do it. Back to our verse in Proverbs, it says they delight in the frowardness of the wicked. To delight is to give great pleasure or enjoyment to please highly, to be highly pleased, take great pleasure, rejoice in, or to do anything. So when they delight in the frowardness of the wicked, they take pleasure in it. They like it. It gives them joy and happiness. It says they delight in the frowardness of the wicked. Frowardness is froward quality or condition, perversity, untowardness. So they get much pleasure out of perversity. And you think about that. How many shows are there on television today that have some sodomite in them? I don't even know why. I haven't seen really TV shows for years, but I just know what people have told me, that pretty much almost every show, almost every sitcom has a sodomite in it now. And people are literally being entertained by perversity. Now you think about that. God does not like it when we have pleasure in them that do them. You've heard the old saying that misery loves company. Well, sinners love sinners too. I don't think there's anything that gives them greater joy than whenever they can find other reprobates that are walking on their paths of darkness with them. Because it makes you feel better about yourself whenever other people are there with you, especially if you can find somebody worse than yourself. Right? Well, at least I'm not as bad as he is, right? Well, yes, I'm living with my girlfriend, but at least I'm not a sodomite, right? It's, you know, it's that thing, right? I may have cursed the man that cut me off, but at least I didn't track him down and murder him, right? Mm-hmm. Right, that kind of thing. So So a godly man's delight should be in the word of God, not in the frowardness of the wicked. Let me just give you a couple of verses. Here's where our delight should be. Wicked people delight in sin, but here's where ours should be. Psalm 1, 1 through 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's what really should bring us great pleasure or enjoyment, right, is in the law of the Lord. Psalm 119, 143. It was neat. I had an interesting, a neat experience the other day. Just weird how this works, but I pulled out my old Cambridge Bible, which is the exact same Bible as this, except it's got the calfskin cover instead of the goatskin. It's virtually the same exact Bible. I bought it when I was first, right before I was baptized, before I was first converted. Had the thing for about 5 months, and then I went overseas and I bought that other little Bible that I used to have. But anyway, I wanted to look, because I made the point in the sermon on Sunday that one verse was not highlighted in green, and I wanted to just check way, way back when, like 15 years ago, to see if I had that verse in green back then, and I didn't, in that Bible too. When you hear the sermon, you'll know what I'm talking about. So anyway, when I pulled out that Bible, even though it's the exact same Bible, it took me back. Was it 15 years ago? It took me back 15 years ago. Like, I just felt like I was back exactly where I was at that time, reading it for the first time, like just soaking it all up, learning all this new stuff. It was so exciting and making all these notes. It was weird. It's funny how you can think back on memories and you can kind of relive it, but you can't. It's like an item or a smell or a song will take you back there. I don't know if you've ever noticed that before. It's like you're there again. And I felt, just for a brief second, like I first felt when I was first being converted. It was really cool. It was just a really neat feeling. But anyway, Psalm 119, 143. I was thinking about that too. I don't want to make this too long, but I was thinking about that your initial conversion is kind of like, and this is a bad example, but it's kind of like that initial high that you get the first time you take heroin. Like, anybody know what I'm talking about? No, I'm just kidding. Obviously not. I don't either. Believe me. But I've been told the first time you take heroin, you get this incredible high and you never get it again. And that's why a lot of people OD and they end up killing themselves, because they want to chase that high. So like I said, it's a horrible example, but it's kind of like that when you're first being converted, it's just this amazing, you're learning so much stuff and it's all new. And you'll never experience that again. You'll continually learn throughout your life, but you're never going to be back there. It's kind of like when you first meet, you know, when you first met your spouse, your girlfriend at the time, and you get all giddy and you're all excited and you can't stop thinking about her and all this stuff, right? And then after you get married and your love grows deeper and it's wonderful, right? But you're never going to go back there. It's never going to feel like that again, ever, never, can't, right? And it's kind of like that with your conversion. It's the same way, where you're never going to experience that way you first felt. And just like dating versus marriage, it's easy to fall in love, right? It's hard to stay in love. It's the same with conversion to the truth, to the true faith. It's when you first, you know, it's all exciting and it's all new and everything, and it's all you can think about. It's great. But then once you've been there for a few years, then it's just the kind of day in, day out, reading your Bible, trying to learn something, trying to, you know, just go through your life and get through it and not losing your zeal and your flame, like Austin was talking to us here a couple of weeks ago, and trying not to backslide. And so it's kind of like marriage, you know, then it's work, and then you got to put work into it to keep it, you know, going well. And so anyway, I just had that thought and jotted down a couple of notes, and I figured I'd share it with you now. Psalm 119, verse 143. Those last two examples were better than the heroin one, I think. I was probably not the best analogy I've ever come up with, but Psalm 119, 143. trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. Now just think about that verse for a second. It wasn't like his life was just going so wonderfully and everything was great, and therefore he loves God's commandments. It's when trouble and anguish have taken hold on him, and he still delights in God's commandments. He still finds great pleasure in them. And then Paul said in Romans 7:22 that I delight I delight in the law of God after the inward man, I think is what he said. Romans 7 and verse 22. It says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But then he goes on to say that there's another law warring in his members, bringing him into captivity. But in the inward man, that's where he loves the law of God. Now, I want you to think about this. I'm just going to read this. Every time a Christian enjoys perverse content, such as nudity or fornication or sodomy or adultery or murder or blasphemy or feminism or false religion or numerous other forms of evil portrayed in television shows, movies, books, magazines, websites, he is delighting himself in the frowardness or the perversity of the wicked. So you just think about that. Every time we enjoy wicked media like that, right, we are right back to what Solomon is saying here of the evil man that delight in the frowardness of the wicked. I'm not saying we can never watch any of that kind of stuff. We can never watch a movie. But just be cautious that if there is, I mean, I recommend not watching movies with garbage in them, but sometimes it's unavoidable. There's always going to be something. But just remember that whenever you are watching that movie, you don't want to delight in that kind of thing. You don't want to root for the bad guy. Some of these wicked movies end up making you root for the wicked guy, right? It's terrible. So you want to be careful about that. And you don't want to be, you know, trying to live out your lusts through some philanderer or something that we're watching on TV either. We want to watch out for that, because God does not appreciate people that have pleasure in them that do wickedness. Being entertained by the evil ways of wicked men is just as disgusting as doing it oneself. And just think about this. These are just a few things that I thought about. Remember this the next time that you laugh at watching a drunk person or drunk people act like fools, right? Because really, yeah, people think that's funny, right? But it's really not funny. I mean, these people are sinners. And God's not up in heaven looking, look at that guy stumbling around and slurring his words. Oh, that's funny. He didn't think it's funny, right? And we shouldn't think it's funny either. Remember this the next time somebody's telling you a, quote, funny story about about their drunken escapades in their past, right? And this is like the most distasteful thing to me. I hate this. People do this all the time, and the older the person is, the more distasteful it is to me. If it's a stupid kid, it's one thing, but whenever I hear older people talking about their drunken past and thinking it's funny or whatever, I don't. And tell us, oh yeah, I remember one time, you think that was bad, oh, I threw up this great big mound of, like, you know, that's not something that, you know, we should be laughing about and enjoying and telling stories about. I mean, we should be ashamed. If you did have the misfortune of living a life like that, like I did, you should be ashamed of it and not laughing and joking about it. Or remember this the next time that some pig at work is telling you about his whoremongering. Right, this is not something to be indulged in. Now, the antidote of falling into the snare of the unrighteous is to immerse oneself in the Word of God, which gives us the wisdom to deliver us from the way of the evil man. And I give you this last verse here in Psalm 119, 9 through 11. Psalm 119, 9 through 11. It says, wherewithal shall the young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. That takes us back to the previous verse we were looking at today. Who leave the paths of uprightness, wandering from the way of the commandments, getting off the path. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. So this is how we make sure that we are delivered from the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leaves the path of uprightness, who walks in the ways of darkness, who delights to do evil and in the frowardness of the wicked, stick to the book. The more a child of God delights in the scriptures, the less he will delight in the frowardness of the wicked. Because the more you start reading this book, the more you start thinking like God thinks, and the more you're disgusted by the things that he's disgusted by, and the more that you, the less that you delight in the error of the wicked. So next time we'll pick it up with Proverbs 2:15.